Our sermon reading today comes from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Jesus says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, a few years back, I learned about something called sheep worrying. Worrying. Here in America, most of us don't know what this is. You maybe never, probably never heard of it. But in countries like the UK, which has 22 million sheep, sheep worrying is a well-known concern. In fact, it's a criminal offense. Sheep worrying is simply this: when dogs chase sheep and worry them. Now, you might say, what's the big deal about some worried sheep, right? Well, get this: about 15,000 sheep die every year in the UK from sheep worrying. And what happens is that when sheep are chased or they're scared, they often, they miscarry or they crush each other, they stampede each other, they trip, or they simply can just die of shock. And one of the worst cases was in 2016 out of the UK, where a farmer discovered that 116 of his sheep had died. And one article said the sheep, many of them pregnant, had been hoarded into a tight group against a fence and gate bordering woodland, and either died from shock or by being crushed in the flock. And Sergeant Tom Carter of the Sussex Police said this: "We are all but 100% certain that the deaths were caused by dogs." Right, and so no one even saw the incident. There are no signs of an attack. They just assumed dogs had scared them. And I saw the picture of all these sheep. Right, there was no blood anywhere. And so in the UK, there are all sorts of laws about sheep worrying and keeping your dog on a leash when sheep are around. And so think about this, right? In this case, there are no bites, there's no scratches on the sheep. The dogs didn't attack. It was simply death by barking, death by worry, death by anxiety. The sheep were crushed by worry. And I share this story today because this is the topic Jesus addresses today in his teaching: worry. There are so many times throughout the New Testament where Jesus describes us as sheep, and he is our shepherd. And as our good shepherd, he knows how we too can so easily be crushed by worry in life. Sheep worrying is a real danger for us as well. Worry is a very relevant topic for today's day and age. Worrying is something that many people deal with. In fact, we all deal with worry at some point in our lives. Proverbs 12:25 says this. If I can get it here. "Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad." Right? Isn't that so true? Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. I think most of us have probably experienced this, how anxiety and worry in your life can just weigh you down. In fact, studies are showing that anxiety and worry are issues that are increasing in our country. According to Mental Health America, anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the U.S., affecting around 42 million adults. It's just a reality that many, many people deal with varying degrees, the effects, the weight of worry, of anxiety. I picture a backpack, right? Each of us, in a sense, we carry a backpack. And for every worry or fear or concern that we have in life, that's like another item that we place in our backpack that weighs us down. But don't forget the second part of Proverbs 12 there. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. That's the remedy. And so today, I want to give us a good word in the face of our anxiety and worry. And our good word comes right from the mouth of Jesus. Most of you know, right now we're doing a sermon series here at our church on the Sermon on the Mount, which is this famous sermon that Jesus gives in Matthew chapter 5 to 7. And again, what Jesus is doing in this sermon is showing us what it means to live as a citizen of this new upside-down kind of kingdom that he's bringing, that he's ushering in. It's important to know, though, what Jesus had to say before this reading today, right? That these verses today, verse 25 to 34, it's really a continuation of what we looked at last week in verses 19 to 24. Last week, Jesus talked extensively about the danger of earthly wealth, earthly possessions. He urged us to store up heavenly treasure instead of earthly treasure. And he warned us that you cannot serve both God and wealth. And as we talked about last week, what Jesus was really talking about was our priorities. You can't have both God and wealth be the treasure of your heart. You can't give your loyalty to both. Who's in control? Who's the master of your life? Is it wealth or God? And last week, Jesus seemed to emphasize that wealth is a danger to us because our greed can eventually control us, become master over us. Well, today Jesus is showing us that not only can wealth make us greedy, but it can also make us worry. This is the other way that wealth can control us. And so today, to begin today in verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry." In other words, when you choose God over wealth as your master and heavenly treasure over earthly treasure, you don't have to worry anymore. Let's dive in and look at this reading more closely. Again, here's how he began today, verse 25. "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Again, Jesus tells us not to worry. And he kind of tells us not to worry about some pretty basic things in life. Food, drink, your body, clothes. It's not like he's mentioning really frivolous things we shouldn't worry about, like what kind of car you drive or the style of clothes you wear. No, he tells us not to worry about the most basic of needs, which is hard to do. And then he tells us why. He says, "Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Jesus, he asks us to take a bigger view of life than what we can just see around us. He said something similar earlier in Matthew, in his temptation before Satan. He tells Satan this: "One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." You see, so often we focus on the things we think we really need to survive in life: food, water, clothes, shelter, health, safety. But Jesus says there is more to life than even these things. Instead, life really begins and ends with God. What you really need is God. In fact, all you need of God is God. He's the source of life. When you have him, you don't need to worry. Look how Jesus continues. He says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" Jesus, he asks us to imagine birds and flowers. And he basically says, no bird is tossing and turning in their sleep right now, worried about tomorrow. No flowers worried. Birds aren't planting crops so they'll have food next year. Flowers aren't sowing petals for themselves. God just takes care of them. God gives them what they need. And if God will take care of birds and flowers, imagine how he'll care for you when you are of infinite more value than they are. Now, it's also important to understand, though, what Jesus is not saying here. He's not saying you're exempt from earning a living then, right? The message is not you don't have to work now or worry because Jesus will just provide for you. No, birds still have to go out. They still have to work for their food, find their food. But God provides. God provides it. Jesus is asking us to replace our worry with trusting God. Worry doesn't have to be a master over you. We don't need to worry because we can trust God to take care of us. Now, make note though, Jesus, he is saying do not worry, but he's not saying you have nothing to worry about. Right? Everyone knows that the bird and the lily, they will eventually die. Right? And Jesus just told his disciples that life is more than food and the body more than clothing. As if to say, when you are hungry or you're naked, know that there's much, so much more to your existence than this. Jesus never tells them you have nothing to worry about. He never tells them they won't ever be hungry. Instead, I think his message is, in the midst of your worrying situation, do not worry because God is taking care of you in ways beyond what you can always see. I think we get a better understanding of what this means exactly in the next verses. Look at verse 31. He says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Here, Jesus, he asks us to consider what do we strive for in life? What are our ambitions? Jesus says, for Gentiles, it's these earthly things. They strive after wealth and food and drink and clothes so they don't have to worry. They strive for comfort and security. And here we come back again to priorities. What are the priorities, the ambitions you strive for in life? Well, Jesus tells us what to make our greatest ambition in verse 33. He says, but strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, make the kingdom of God and his righteousness your greatest treasure. We're back to what we talked about last week. Store up heavenly treasure, not earthly treasure. Live for the things of God, not the things of this world. But it's important to understand how Jesus ties this to worry. The key is beginning from a place of trust. When we can trust ourselves to the Father's care, we then become, in a sense, freed up to prioritize his kingdom instead of prioritizing the elimination of our worries. We can focus on serving God instead of overworking ourselves. And most amazingly, Jesus tells us when we put his kingdom first, all the rest is taken care of. And I know that seems counterintuitive. How does worrying less about my earthly needs and troubles solve my worries, you know, when I seek God's kingdom? How does that work? But that's just how God does it. There is a sense, too, that when we have God's kingdom, that's all we really need. You know, when I think of the kingdom of God, I think of what our world will be like when Jesus finally rules over it all, fully and completely as king. Think of all the goodness there will be, the justice, the healing, the restoration, no evil, no pain, no sadness, so much joy, fulfillment, satisfaction. I mean, everything that God has been working for will come true. Redemption, forgiveness, healing, salvation, peace. It'll become fully realized when his kingdom comes. And so that's the reason we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry because everything we could ever want has already been given to us. It will be given to us as Christians. It's like Jesus is saying, you're worried about the tiniest things in the midst of all that I'm doing here. Why are you worried about a little food when you'll be feasting with God someday, more satisfied than you've ever been? Why do you care so much about clothes? God's going to dress you in eternal glory someday. Why are you worried about money when your inheritance is all of God's kingdom? And why are you worried about your health and your weak, frail body when God has guaranteed that you will be a new creation with eternal life? We worry about these little things when God has so much better for us. It's like we're settling for a shack when he wants to give us a kingdom. And so Jesus is essentially saying, strive for the kingdom and you'll have all you need. And so Jesus has this final word to say then in verse 34. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Jesus, he really has two things to say in this last verse. Not only does he tell us not to worry about tomorrow, but implicit in that statement, assumed there, is also the encouragement to live in the present. Don't let your worries for tomorrow get in the way of living today. The true beauty of a life with no worry is that it leads to freedom. If you're not worrying about tomorrow, you're free to live boldly for God today. Without worry, we're free to live today with generosity, with an open hand. Without worry, we're free today to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And so we need to change the way we view life. We have to look beyond just our circumstances. We have to put on our spiritual glasses to see the kingdom of God that God is bringing to earth today and in the future. Now, of course, that's a lot easier said than done, right? Few of us can just stop worrying. And that's why Jesus promises to help us with this as well. We heard this in our first reading today. 1 Peter 5 says this, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." And then Jesus will say this later in Matthew. "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so think about that backpack again that we all carry on our shoulders. It's filled with all our worries, all our concerns in life. It weighs us down. It crushes us. It enslaves us. But part of learning to trust in God means that we're able to take off that pack and hand it to Jesus. He wants to take our worries. He wants us to cast our cares on him. He says, don't worry about these things anymore. Don't let them weigh you down. Let me worry about them. Let me handle them. Let me handle your life. In fact, not only is he willing to carry our packs of worry and anxiety, but in times when life is hardest, he will carry you if need be. He takes all of you upon himself and he says, don't worry, trust in me, I will carry you. I will take personal responsibility for you. I want to give you the kingdom. I want to give you so much more than you can imagine. Jesus says, I will not only give you peace, but I will be your peace. Don't worry, trust in me. Let's pray.